This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
We continue our new summer music series called Setlist.
We invited Wisconsin artists into the WPR studios for interviews and exclusive musical performances. They'll air every Friday at this time until Labor Day weekend.
Okay, we're going to talk about drummers who are also lead singers. You've got Phil Collins from Genesis, you've got Don Henley of the Eagles, and, you know, even Ringo sang a little bit. But it's not an easy thing to pull off, so it's a pretty short list.
Nicole Ray is the drummer and lead singer for the Oshkosh rock band The Traveling Suitcase. She, along with guitarist Bill Grassley, recently stopped by the WPR studios to play some songs from their latest album, Nobody Wins, and talk about how they fit into the Fox Valley music scene.
I begged my parents for a drum set for about maybe a little over 2 years. Growing up, my best friend's older brother played drums, and I just kind of would steal his broken drumsticks and bring them home and beat on pillows to records.
Out the window, end of the line. Mountains peaking and the sun is crying.
So let's start. Nicole, how did you guys meet? How did you get started with the band?
Well, Bill kind of jumped in mid-Suitcase. I've known the bass player and keyboard player, Brandon, for about 14 years. We started playing music after meeting in high school jazz band.
High school jazz band?
Yep.
Was that in Oshkosh?
Yep, that was in Oshkosh West.
And what did you play back in jazz band?
I played drums and percussion.
And we're not hearing your drumming here today. On the album, you mainly play drums and, of course, sing.
Yep, drums and sing. I play guitar a lot as well.
And you started, as I understand it, as the guitarist for the Traveling Suitcase.
Yep. Yeah, I did.
And made the switch to drums. How is it? I'm always curious how hard it is to sing and play drums at the same time. It looks challenging to me.
It's actually super easy. It was really difficult when I first started because I was used to the songs being in a completely different format, you know, using my brain in a different way. And now it's, you know, like when we're in a recording situation, I have to like have drumsticks in my hand.
I thought I saw you like hitting a kick pedal every now and then, starting to maybe reach out for the drumsticks while you were playing there.
Yep.
And now, Bill, you joined midway through. What was it like mixing into the existing band?
Yeah, it was interesting. There was a lot more people too. I think it was seven. Was I number seven then at that time?
So now it's a three piece. Yeah.
So I wasn't doing guitar at first, just playing horns and mandolin and keyboard every now and then, as things progressed and we kind of shifted around, I found my way to guitar, which I consider my main instrument.
Everybody right now is on the instruments that they're best at.
You've settled into what you really should be playing.
Truly are. I guess like not like best at, because everyone's really good at a bunch of different instruments, but I feel like all of, you know, the three of us, what we play in the band, it's our thing, you know?
Bill, this is kind of a nice rock and sound, which I like a lot, riff heavy in a lot of places. What's the process? Is it lyrics and then you get the riff to go along with it? Or, hey, this sounds good, now let's match lyrics to it?
It's kind of split three ways, honestly, because like she mentioned, we all do play guitar. So sometimes if Nicole writes a song on guitar, she has the lyrics done and then we just kind of do it that way and then she plays drums to it. Other times, Brandon and I collaborate on guitar. And then we just kind of show up at practice, and then it all just sort of happens in the moment. And that's most of it, is we sit down and figure it all out. It's not too much premeditated.
There are four different types of songwriting within the group. There's each of us solely bringing one, and then we piece it together. And then when we write songs together, that's like the fourth piece, like when we're actually sitting down and then randomly something happens. And for me personally, I think the biggest challenge is like sitting behind the kit and writing.
Yeah, how does that work? Because you can't hit an A chord on snare drum.
No, you can't, but you can build a, you know, we used percussion back in the day to communicate. I mean, when we didn't really know how to form words, that's how we communicated with other tribes, with other things like that. So I guess I look at it as like my birthright to communicate. So I really enjoy writing from behind the kit because it can tell a story through rhythm.
Wow.
Listen to Nobody Wins, the new album. I'm not hearing a lot of overdubs, a lot of studio trickery. It sounds like kind of like what it would sound live.
We kept it meat and potatoes for sure.
Was that a conscious decision or just kind of how it happened?
We did do overdubs. There's some like vocal harmonies and there's definitely some thickening of guitars in some places just to build thickness, and you want to have depth for sure. Because we've pressed vinyl too, and there's definitely a really good amount of atmosphere in the way that we mixed it for listening pleasure on vinyl. But this was a Kickstarter funded album, and I feel like a lot of our fans that had come seen us live, you know, had heard those songs for, you know, like a year. So I was like, well, we better make sure that this is, you know, a really good representation of what they want as well. But personally, I like a little bit more of a raw sound anyways, because I get really disappointed when I see a good band and buy their record and I'm like, sounds like polished,
produced the life out
of it. Yeah, like, what is this?
Well, you mentioned Kickstarter. Let's talk about that. I mean, this is something that wasn't there for bands or authors or whoever, all the people using Kickstarter. Does it, you mentioned wanting to serve the fans who helped to fund it. Mm-hmm. I mean, does it, I could see that going two ways. Like, they're a part of it. They have some ownership.
Oh, yeah,
you want to reward them for that.
Yeah, it's their record. It's like a family.
And I wear my fancy dresses just to impress them. All the attention mixed with affection is my affliction.
Let's talk about where you play. I mean, you're based in Oshkosh. Tell us a little bit about the scene there. I've been up to the Reptile Palace before, but that's the only club I know up there. Tell us about the Fox Valley scene.
That pretty much is. I mean, as far as like an actual music venue, I think Reptile Palace is about it.
Beckett's is really cool.
Yeah, Beckett's has done a really good service to the music
scene. That's a restaurant. They have live music there, but it's like right on the river.
But yeah, I mean, it's kind of shocking how many bands did actually come out of Oshkosh, considering you mostly have to leave Oshkosh to keep playing. And so there's Dead Horses out of Oshkosh too.
Bronze Age
is in Madison now, and they came out of Fox Valley. Midwestern Charm is now in Milwaukee. And so it's nuts. There's a lot of really great bands up there. But for the most part, we don't play as much in Oshkosh just because we don't have the opportunities.
Now, it used to be, I think, music journalists would try to pin a sort of a sound on a particular city, a Seattle sound or whatever.
Yeah.
Is there anything
like,
at all
no,
like that?
Or it's all every diverse. Single band has a completely different genre that comes out of there. I feel like Midwestern bands, there's definitely a little bit of like bittersweet, dark and light contrast because we deal with winter. You have to be able to live through, you know, 50 below weather.
You mentioned vinyl. You press into vinyl. One of your songs on the new album has vinyl in the title. I can't remember the title.
Vinyl Ain't Dead?
Yeah, so yep. Vinyl Ain't Dead, and you're helping keep it alive. I'll be honest, I don't even have a turntable. Why are you still pressing vinyl?
Looking at you, not to judge a book by a cover, but I was like, man, I bet you this guy's got a really discreet
vinyl
collection.
I kept my vinyl for years without a turntable, and I finally was like, okay, I'm not buying a turntable anytime soon. So make the case. Why should I get a turntable?
I don't know, man. There's so much more atmosphere, and I hate to sound cliche and be like one of those little vinyl nerds, but I am a vinyl nerd. It's like looking at a painting that someone actually painted and being able to feel the textures and how their brush moved and the grooves of everything like that, as opposed to someone being like, here's the laminated copy of this painting I made.
So you can, and so one could get a copy of Nobody Wins on vinyl if
yes,
they wanted to.
That is a thing.
And are you able to like still hook up with enough record stores around the state? You're in the local music
section?
Yeah,
a decent amount. Actually, we're getting rid of too much music. Like we're selling.
You can't keep up?
Yeah, we can't keep up, which is cool.
That's a great place to be.
Yep.
Mama's in the kitchen cooking up some food. Well, Papa's in the basement watching all the fools.
What does success feel like for the traveling suitcase? What's the next dream?
I think for me personally, I just want to see us on the road less but more, you know, like having just a more consistent tour schedule.
Less working three other jobs kind of thing.
And yeah, I think all of us are getting really burnt out.
That's what we want to do, you know, so we like writing. I like making records.
Awesome or horror stories from the road?
When we were in Nashville, a guitar player who used to be in our band, he decided that he was going to bring his fishing pole on tour with us. And it had a three-prong hook at the end of it. And I think it was a sudden stop. And, like, everyone was kind of like, woo! And then all of a sudden I was like, ah! And I was like, it hurts! I thought I sat on a bee or something because it just was stinging. And then I, like, got up and our friend started laughing. And I was like, what's going on? And she's like, there's a fishing hook in your butt. So then she pulled it out.
I hope some actual fishing was done on this tour.
No fishing was done. That's why I was like, why did you bring this fishing pole on tour?
Is there something that you think is going to change in your approach or what you're trying to do between Nobody Wins and Untitled Next Project?
I don't think we think about that kind of stuff, man. That's a waste of stress almost, so, you know?
Like whatever you come up with.
Yeah. We don't put any pressure or expectations on what we're doing other than just, you know, being true to ourselves as musicians. And that is an open door.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for coming down and playing today.
Thank you very much for having us.
Oshkosh Band, The Traveling Suitcase. You can catch them live on August 7th at the Mile of Music Festival in Appleton.
Setlist Summer Music Series airs on Central Time Fridays at 4:15 through early September. For more about the artists featured on Setlist, including songs and videos of their exclusive performances at our WPR studio, head over to WPR.org/setlist. That's WPR.org/setlist. Next Friday on Setlist, we'll feature the Milwaukee rock band Sat Night Duets.
This has been a lot of fun, this series. There's a lot of great music to be had. I've got to go back. I mean, I saw them play in our studio in many cases, but I've got to go back and listen to more of their music. A lot of great stuff out there in Wisconsin.
Right. If you're looking for your next favorite band or you want to get out there and see what Wisconsin has to offer, check it out. You can go back and look at on WPR.org/setlist.
Coming up, after a week of outrage over the killing of a well-known Zimbabwe lion named Cecil, we'll hear what you think about trophy hunting, legal and illegal. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.